Right.
No problem.
All right. Good morning. Lots of exciting stuff to talk about. It is Monday and the Real Network, Gareth Cliff Show, live to keep you company. We've passed the middle of the year. We're now in the downhill stretch towards... I know, it's people hate hearing this, but we're in our downhill stretch to Christmas and New Year. Basically, all the best laid plans for the year, if you haven't already put them into action, there's a great high likelihood that you may never get to them. They may never materialize. They'll always remain ideas. And people will go, what did you do for 2024? And you'll have to say, very little, actually.
So I played catch up.
This is your warning. Yeah, half the year has passed. You've only got another 6 months to get all that shit together. Make it happen. One of the people who makes it happen is our friend George Meany. He's in the studio with us. We always like when George comes to spend time with us, and we've got loads of stuff to talk to him about. How are you, George?
Good and you, Gareth. And
yeah, lekker. Yeah, lekker.
At this point, start considering putting your New Year's resolutions on 2025.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, in the industry that I work in, we're looking at 2025 plans already. It's I keep forgetting that. In fact, June feels like it's in the past.
I know. Almost is. Just a couple of days. So let's move on from that as quickly as we can. I have a problem. My dog is a killer.
Oh, no.
She's a sweet, lovely little spaniel.
She is so cute.
Who shouldn't be, and I know that they are hunting dog spaniels.
Gun dogs.
Retrievers, really. They should be.
Didn't the Royal use them?
Not these kind. These are Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. They're little lap dogs basically. Yeah. But this little shit, she, on Thursday last week, she killed 3 cinnamon doves in the space of half an hour. 3.
Oh, no. Well,
I watched her take the one out. She ran down the stairs onto this patch of lawn, chased the doves this way. A couple of them flew onto the roof. One stupid one flew in the opposite direction, made a landing, and then attempted to take off again. And she went, bah, got him.
Wow.
Well, let's be honest.
Here's the proof, just by the way. This is the one. I didn't take photos of all 3 mass murders, but there you can see she's got the bird.
Has she ever done this before?
Oh, yeah. No, she has, but never 3 in a day.
3 in a day. Once she got that blood first thing in the morning, she was like in for it.
And now it's her favorite thing. Now, when I open the door in the morning, the first thing she wants to do is go and kill a dove.
But let's be honest, pigeons and doves are the dumbest birds.
They are so slow and stupid. And also the parents, and pigeons in particular, they leave their, what are they, squawklings? What are they called?
The young.
Squabs.
Whatever.
Squabs.
What are they?
The dumb young.
They lay the eggs on the floor.
Yeah.
I had my cousin lived on on the 3rd floor, and she had a tiny balcony which she put some fake grass on, and there a pigeon laid an egg.
Ugh.
And there's a cat inside the apartment.
Rats of the sky.
The cat eventually the cat and the squab were sitting next to each other.
Well, you know, back in the like late 1800s, early 1900s, these shooting parties would go out in places like Britain, and they'd shoot like 10,000 pheasant in one afternoon, right? And I kind of feel like in some way this is kind of what my dog is doing. She's now 3 in a day is going to be the regular from now on. And the dumb pigeons and doves don't learn. They don't watch and learn.
No, they're stupid.
They deserve to be taken out.
I mean, they see cars driving over their friends. They don't do anything about it.
Very stupid.
My solar panels on my roof of my house, they love nesting in those bloody things.
Oh, no.
Because it's warm.
Yeah.
I mean, the panel's absorbing heat.
Yeah.
Bloody buggers are nesting.
So how do you get them out? You spray them out?
So now I've had to resort to, you get plastic spikes at builder's warehouse.
Oh, no.
So I've sent a maintenance guy up there, and he's putting spikes around the underneath of the panel so they can't get bloody in.
Oh, no.
I mean, there are enough trees in Johannesburg, are there not?
No, I think there's too many of them for
Oh, man. Why couldn't it be a Hardy-Dar, says Bitcoin Butt?
Yeah, I swerved yesterday for a Hardy-Dar, and I think there were a few cars behind me who thought, you should have just gone over it.
Imagine if Friesland the bunny was still around. Alice would be hopping mad. You remember we had that bunny?
Yes, she had a stray bunny.
Yeah. that was, it had the markings of a Friesland cow. It was a sweet little bunny, but it didn't last very long. I don't know, some hawk must have taken it. Oh, speaking of which, a bird of prey got into my parents' house. But a small one, a juvenile. I think it was a sparrowhawk or something. But this was a beautiful little bird, and it got stuck in the kitchen skylight thing. And I took some pictures of that. I'll bring those in. But you can't really see what's going on. But it's like, that's always something cool to see, right?
Did they get it?
It wasn't hurt. Got out okay. Everything's fine. It's a little though, because it's still
it's funny how we, is it empathize or sympathize over a bird of prey?
Yeah.
But not over a pigeon.
No. No, you can tell. Like this point, it proves my point over and over again. I have moved my opinion on very many things over the years. I've changed my opinion about the death penalty. I've changed my opinion about abortion. I've changed my opinion about taxes. All kinds of things have moved. I've been one of those people who's open to new information. And when new information comes and it makes sense, then I change my position. I'm not married to my original 25-year-old Gareth opinions, right? But the one thing I've always stayed pretty sure of is that nothing is about equality. I'm not an egalitarian at all. And this whole thing with the birds kind of proves that. It's like we really care about and we're excited about and we're worried about the case of a little juvenile sparrowhawk, but no one gives a damn about the dumb doves. Deep down inside, no one's an egalitarian. The whole point of being alive is to be as unequal as possible. Why do you think rich people want their own little queue at the airport?
Yeah.
Why do you think they fly private? Why do you think people who have money do things that involve all the people who also have money and none of the people who don't?
Mm. I think the line, everyone's equal, some are more equal.
Yeah.
Is probably apt because, people want to be a certain thing and then there's a crowd of people that are the same as that and then there's subsets of people that are even smaller than that and then there's 0.1% of the 0.1%.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then they also say, for example, and Naked Goose brings this up in the comments, we seem to empathize with furry creatures who have forward-looking eyes. Well, probably because we are.
That's also true. Inside.
Like, no,
like an owl,
cute,
for instance.
No, if something's cute.
The
minute something's cute, you're like, oh, shame. Like a puppy or a little kitten or a little monkey or a small, like, furry rodent of some kind. But the minute it's ugly looking, we don't like it. We don't care.
Like a spider.
Yeah, a spider or a rat. So you think about a mouse versus a rat. There was a mouse in my house the other day. And the dog was trying to kill it. And I was like, no, don't kill the mouse. I was trying to save the stupid little mouse because it's a mouse. If it was a rat, I'd be like, get it. Right?
We are like that. For instance, there is an owl at the moment in our area.
Oh, yeah?
And every night people on the group, can you hear the owl tonight? In the meantime, we've got 4,000 pigeons and hardy dars and all the rest of it. It's the way it is.
Lemiro says, Gareth identifies as a poodle. Barky, barky, bitey, bitey. Someone adopt him and show him love. What are you, high? What are you on, Lemiro? I've never seen that person in the comments before. Obviously, it's someone who's just like, they've wandered into into our show on a drug high or something.
Pigeons.
Well, welcome.
Stumbled in.
Let's hope you stick around a while. So, Borge, what's happening with you? How are things?
Very good. Very good. Just been very, very busy as usual. I've been one conference after the other, waking up at 4:30 in the morning. The last 2 weeks, I've been able to do gym 6 times, which is terrible.
Oh, that's bad.
The
worst is when you get...
I shudder at the thoughts.
when you get sick, it's the worst then you can't... I just feel by the end of the week, if I've been really, really unable to get there or feeling sick or whatever, then I just feel so lazy. Mm. Like even yesterday I had to go because otherwise I would have felt like the whole Sunday was just a write-off. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing bad about having a lazy day. But if you just do lazy 2 days in a row...
No, that becomes too much.
It's too much, right?
I had a good night's sleep last night, so because that's been the problem, is trying to get enough sleep because you've got so much to do. But last night I got a good night's sleep. I knew I was going to be here this morning. So.
Are you quite good at just being able to get into bed and go straight to sleep?
It depends. It depends on what I'm doing right before I go to bed. I find that if it's something that has been left hanging, my mind kind of spins on that for a while. It don't take long to fall asleep. It'll probably take longer to fall asleep, maybe 30 minutes as opposed to 10.
Yeah, I always worry when I fall asleep too easily. I'm like, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. That's usually what happens. And then I'm like, oh, God, now what? No, I just got to stay awake because there's no point in trying then.
Yeah, 3 a.m. is a bad one because you stay awake. Might as well just get up.
So apparently Rochelle says in Scotland the seagulls are bad. They've figured out automatic sliding doors and often steal stuff from shops.
They do.
They're very clever.
They walk in. They literally choose their packet of crisps and walk out with it.
Holy.
Yeah. No, seagulls are very clever. But it's like those baboons in the Cape that we've spoken about before who can open car doors.
That's it.
You know, the you imagine you park your car so you can go on a hike up Table Mountain and see the Fynbos. You get back and the baboons have ransacked your car, one of them sitting in the driving seat.
I had that experience. I went down to Champagne Castle down in
the Drakensberg
Mountains. And at that point, I was driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and the car was locked. Woke up the next morning, and there were handprints on the handles because they had tried.
Wow.
They knew. Every handle had a handprint on it. And then there were footprints and stuff on the roof that they'd been on the roof of the car. But it wasn't like this smudge all over the car. It was on the handles. They knew what they were doing.
John says, I had two huskies. One killed my neighbor's ducks. They would come near the fence and she would grab the duck and pull it right through the diamond mesh. The other husky killed the neighbor's koi. Sure.
Oh, yes.
The neighbors that live next to John must love him.
I received a knock on the door and I lived in a complex at one stage. And it was this irate man who carried on walking towards me until eventually I had my back against the wall and he was still shouting at me.
Yeah.
About the fact that he'd seen my cat and my cat destroyed all of his koi. She was just in there, good soup. scooping out
caught all his koi.
I mean, come on. You know, what occurs more naturally in this complex?
Probably cats.
Exactly.
But you have to put those nets and things over if you're going to keep stupid things like koi. I don't like fish. I wouldn't want to keep
fish. Is such a hard thing to keep.
Yeah.
They require so much maintenance.
Expect if you've got a pond or something that some bird's going to come and take out a couple of the fish, right? So it's a fish. It doesn't know what it's. Fish are stupid as hell. You talk about the inequality, right? Like even doves are cleverer than fish. Fish are the lowest of the low. They're very stupid.
There's always something dumber.
Apparently, the baboons at Champagne Castle sit on the pool lounges. I love that. I love it. Carl says, sometimes I lock my wife out. She's now figured out how to put the garage on manual. She's so clever. All right. You do have dogs, though.
No, I don't. I've had dogs my entire life. I don't have dogs right now. I actually had two Pomeranians. It was the last set of dogs I had, and they're now with my mom. Oh, yeah. My dad passed on, and these dogs have now become my mom's
They're the companions. Right.
One is a teacup.
She's tiny, right?
When she was born, she could fit in the palm of your hand. She hasn't grown much bigger. She's little.
Those dogs, you don't really know which way they're facing. They're just like two balls of puff. And they also can turn around really quickly, so you just
they
never
do.
Know.
They do circles and bark.
Might be calling its arsehole cute, and you don't even know.
All right, I've got to talk about this quickly. How millennials and Gen Zs spend their money in South Africa? You want to guess
millennials
at these?
And Gen Zs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Data?
Streaming services.
Uh-huh.
Music.
Of course, we're generalizing here. Don't get all upset if you're a millennial or a Gen Z.
Just remind me, millennial, Gen Z, what year was that?
So Gen Z is... Okay, let me just
Gen Z have entered the workplace, basically. So you're talking...
Gen Z are born between 12 and 27 years old, so... Yeah, so they're between 12 and 27 years old now. They're comfortable using apps for everything, including banking and investing, even in crypto. They say for shorter-term goals like travel and gadgets. It may also include buy now, pay later options, like we were talking about last week. Millennials are saving for the future, while Gen Z prioritizes experience and the latest tech. Both generations can benefit from learning from each other. Millennials can embrace some financial tech, and Gen Z can plan more for the long term. So millennials, which are people between about 28 and 43, are cautious spenders. They witnessed the 2008 recession and I've never met a single millennium who goes, you know, the reason I behave this way is because the 2008 recession. Have you?
No.
What a lot of shit. Do you believe that? Not a chance.
But I think Gen Zs, I just Googled it, so 12 to 27 years old. Gen Zs are less cautious.
Yeah.
Less cautious.
But we all were when we were that age.
I wasn't. We didn't have money.
But you're not Gen Z.
I remember spending thousands on a pair of...
When I was that age.
You're Gen X.
Yes.
You and Leanne and I are Gen X. So we are like your parents. You had... If you got pocket money and it was R2 and you had to figure out how to stretch that over a month.
When you weren't being beaten.
Yeah. When you weren't being beaten.
a slipper thrown at you.
You got R2. Yeah. Gen X's are like, can we come out of the underground bunker we built ourselves back in the 90s?
We had to wash our parents' cars just so we could buy a lollipop.
I don't know. So this is according now to someone who's done a whole bunch of research on what people in age groups 28 to 43 and then 12 to 27 are doing. It turns out that the millennials, the older group of the two, are using budgeting apps, investing for retirement, even have side hustles. But isn't that more also a result of the fact that they are in that age group? I mean, if you're between 28 and 43, you're going to be thinking more about the future.
So it's not about when you were born, it's about what age you are now.
When I was in my 20s, I was also just buying dumb shit.
Yes.
Gadgets and sunglasses.
Even myself as a Gen X, you know, down back when you were like 18, 19, 20, 21, you didn't know flipping ass from your elbow.
Please, man. Everybody always says, start saving early. Now, if I could go back and tell my 18-year-old self anything, it would have been take 10% or more of everything you earn and put it away. Right?
Well, this is what
compound interest and all that stuff.
Youngsters don't understand about compounding.
But I didn't. Yeah. Did you?
I didn't.
You don't imagine.
I don't have enough life left.
No, exactly.
That's the thing. You don't imagine yourself getting older. You can't foresee the fact that you'll be in your 50s and worried about retirement.
It's like when I see a youngster buy an expensive car on credit.
Yeah, I mean, you must myself, see this type of stuff all the time.
Do you understand what the compounding of actually saving that money would be on your life?
Well, you know, fortunately, George speaks with some experience here. He happens to be the CEO of Auto Trader. You guys have this thing, though, on your site that actually shows you how much you end up spending with the interest over the time, which is handy because when you see that number and you think, well, if I pay a little bit more, then it brings it down.
Yeah.
You know, either put down a bigger deposit or whatever else. Because when you see the thousands of rands that you pay that you don't have to, that don't come into the cost price of the car.
Exactly.
And you see how much you're paying in interest, it actually frightens the hell out of you.
And then the depreciation on the car.
I just want to stand up for the millennials and the Gen Zs, right? Because I don't think that this survey proves anything. It just proves that when you're younger, you spend on the now.
Mm. Yeah.
And when you're older, you think more about the future. That's all it proves.
You spend on the future you don't have.
Exactly. But this is not a knock. Like I'm all in favor of saying terrible things about Gen Z and the millennials. I really am. I'm happy to beat up on them. But this is not one of those occasions.
Yeah.
And it seems obvious to me that no matter when you were born, you buy the dumb stuff when you're young.
You know what?
And you should.
I watched an interview of Elon Musk the other day.
Oh.
And
what have we learned?
He says, which is, I think, quite common knowledge right now, he says that with AI and robots, we won't have to work in the future.
But then what's the point? Because I don't – listen.
How?
The end of the podcast was there would be a crisis of meaning.
Yes. I think that's already happening, George. Yeah.
So, but that's my link to the Gen Zs. Isn't there a crisis of meaning starting in the Gen Zs?
Not because of this, though. Not what they're spending their money on. If you give people, if everybody in the world just suddenly got $10 million, right, and you were able to spend that on whatever you wanted, it wouldn't make people happy. Mm. That's an absolute fact because
money doesn't cause happiness.
Many people would just go and buy really, really dangerous things, things that were obviously not good for them. We know this because they've proven this with lotto winners and, you know, people like that. They win these huge amounts of money, doesn't make them happy. In fact, they end up almost every time exactly where they were before they won.
Well, money just enhances who you really are.
Yeah.
That's all it does.
Correct.
So if you're a happy person to begin with, money will make you happier.
Correct. But this crisis of meaning is already going on. I think we're seeing it not because of the spending, but because people don't have enough to do. And this comes into stimulation, which we were talking about with Dr. Hanan earlier. Mm. Like, you have to have a reason to get up. Now, if you've got a trust fund, and I know rich people whose kids just don't feel like they have to do anything, and they're bored, and they can't go out and drink and party with their friends every day because their friends actually have to work.
Yeah.
So they are bored and they're unhappy. And then you think about people who have horrible jobs that they absolutely hate, but they've got to do it because they've got to pay the fees. They've got to pay the costs.
But wasn't that the Gen X life? Where, you know, you worked mainly because you had to, and it was some kind of thing your parents taught you. You've got to get a house.
It was instilled by the boomers.
You've got to get a job. All that stuff. Whereas now, I think the Gen Zs are at a place where they don't want to work for a boss. They want to be free. They want to do their own thing. And they don't really want to be in the traditional structure of the world.
Yeah.
Monica says, my employees are 27 and 29, multimillionaires and unhappy and bored. You employ two multimillionaires? That's very impressive.
Hmm.
What do you do, Monica?
Hmm.
If you want a reason to live, start a business. You won't have time to worry about boredom, says Christian. That's about true. Right. But
if you want to be poor, start a business.
Remember, it's not so much. it's not so much boredom though, George. It's more meaning, which is a whole different thing. I do want to go to this, which is the reason I brought all of this up in the first place. So, a new report, again, always with a pinch of salt, right? New report says that South Africans are more engaged and enthusiastic about their jobs compared to the global average.
That's good news.
At 29%, and I'll get to exactly what that 29% represents in a moment, South Africa beats the worldwide rate by 6%. This might be due to strong labor rights in the country. Hardly, I doubt that. No one's going, yeah, the fact that I'm happy is because of strong labor rights. The report found there are fewer actively disengaged employees in South Africa. Those unhappy and looking for new jobs. So obviously what they did is they went around and they surveyed people from all these countries. They didn't do all the countries in the world, but they did a lot of them. And we came up pretty well at 29%. It's not a great percentage, but it does mean that 29% of South African employees are feeling actively engaged, stimulated at work, feel like they've got meaning and purpose in their day-to-day existence. 29% is really not great, but the world average is at 11.7.
Mm. Yo. So we're three times higher almost.
Yeah, it's amazing because if you look at our unemployment rate, the thing that drives us the most to work should be the fear of not having a job because there's so few jobs. Yet people are not just doing their 9 to 5 and, you know, not engaging it with
it. Yeah, but likely the survey surveys people that have a job.
Okay, yes,
and
true.
Not people that don't.
Yeah. No, we're not looking at unemployed people because then how do you ask them, how are you enjoying your job? Well, I don't
really?
Have one.
But for
thanks a lot for reminding me.
For employed.
Imagine a survey going around, finding people sitting on the street going, hey, how's your job? Thanks a lot.
I feel like a pigeon
That's
right
great.
Now.
That's nice. Yeah. I think it's pretty sad, though, that 11.7 is the world average. Like, that means of the people who have jobs. And you say the fear, Leanne, but I think it's got to be more than that. Like, you have to actually, if you're just doing your job because you're afraid of not having one and not being able to pay your bills, sure, that's like.
Well, maybe that's part of the 70%, the fear.
Right. It probably is. But that 11.7% that are actually actively enjoying their jobs, I mean, wow. Just at the moment, figure out of your day-to-day stuff that you do in your work, what percentage do you think you're happy about doing?
I mean, if I just look at Autotrader, and we do internal surveys all the time.
Yeah.
Because culture, you know, my opinion about leadership is that culture is the sole sustainable competitive advantage of any business.
Right.
Because it's the only thing you can't copy. Everything else can be copied.
Yeah.
You know, your beautiful products can be copied. Everything can be copied. Your price point can be undercut. Everything. So the way people, and how do you define that? The way people engage with each other and solve problems in the business. That's the real magic that happens in a company. And so we do these surveys all the time. And Autotrader gets scores in the 90s. So
that's very good.
So my extension to the 30% or the 28% or whatever it was is that maybe South Africa has better leaders than other countries in the world.
In business,
yeah.
but it's also
because why would the 11% exist? It's because you've got an arsehole for a boss.
Yeah, a lot of bosses.
Yeah, it's amazing how one person can really make you hate your life.
I mean, it's a fact that people leave their bosses, not their companies.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
I think that's a very good point. I don't know. There are so many things. I mean, you know these ranking systems that companies are massively competitive about. You see, they can't wait to tell everyone we're rated the third best employer,
best companies to work for.
Yeah, correct.
So how much it costs to enter that?
Well, I'm sure, because it's a bit of a scam, if you ask me. But it does count for the company, because people want to work for a company where they feel valued, and they want to work for a company where everybody else says, this is a great company to work for. But they don't do it that way. They don't actually go around and survey the people in the company and go, isn't this the greatest company to work for? Because people are going to go, yeah, sure, if they know their boss is going to see the results. But if their boss isn't in the room and they know that their boss will never know what they really think, there's a reason it's called work. It's not fun. You wouldn't rather be doing that than chilling, having a holiday with your family. But there are some jobs which are genuinely exciting for people. Mm. It's just, we know the number now, 11-odd%. So if you find, here's the reason I asked the question earlier. If you find that half of your job is giving you an enormous amount of happiness, if you actually love half your job, you are the luckiest person in the world.
Yeah. You don't have to set your expectations that high.
Half your job. Like, if you get to 12 o'clock on every day of the week, and you're like, I've had a great day, then whatever comes after 12, just take it, because you're already doing better than everyone else. Yeah, if you think about it that so way, true. It's great, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Anyway, we got so much other stuff to talk about here too. I know that you've got a bunch of things on the agenda, George, but Leanne wants to tell us about Barcelona. It's going to ban all vacation rentals by 2028. Barcelona is one of those cities where you really get the feeling like they're ahead of the curve.
Mm.
They seem to be doing things that everybody else will only get to in 20, 30 years. And part of the reason for that is Barcelona is this very, very forward-thinking, technologically advanced, clean, successful, state-of-the-art place. It really is one of the best places to live, and always comes up in those surveys as one of the top five best cities in the world to live. You know, what is this vacation rental ban? What does it mean?
Well, it means anything that is not a hotel. So in other words, you have an apartment in Barcelona and you rent it out to tourists.
Why would they want to stop that?
Because what makes a city great and what makes a city what it is the people that live there, right?
Uh-huh.
Barcelona, hardly anyone is living there anymore.
Oh.
It's just filled with tourists. And it's become too expensive to buy an apartment in Barcelona because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So only super wealthy people are buying up these apartments and then just renting them out. The heart of Barcelona, the people, are all moving out because it's too expensive. And now if you look at some of the tourist attractions. And I mean, I know the place well. I've been many times. And now I can't remember.
Las Ramblas.
Yes, Las Ramblas. Thank you. Las Ramblas. That's the famous avenue.
Doesn't that
it's
change
It's filled
the...
with tourists, not with
yeah, that,
genuine
I can vouch
people
for that
there.
As well. I've only been
it's
there
like
once.
It's like Camps Bay. You know, it changes the essence.
Yeah, Camps Bay isn't in South Africa.
It's not Cape Town anymore. No. It changes the essence of the culture of the place.
Yeah.
And it's no longer Barcelona. It's just a place with old buildings.
That's the thing. So,
built with tourists.
Authorities are now spending $60 million to redesign the street to make it more inviting to foot traffic. You know, even some of the businesses have moved out of Barcelona because it's becoming expensive.
I don't know that that's true, that it's just tourists. When I was there, and again, I've only been once, so I'm not in any position to be the expert on Barcelona. But when I was there, I saw families walking around. Like I saw moms, dads, kids. They didn't look like they were tourists. You know, they weren't dressed like tourists. They weren't like gawking at the buildings. They were out on a weeknight in these beautiful avenues and streets, just doing what people who live in the town would do, going for dinners, doing chilled stuff. They didn't look like tourists. Now, I might be really stupid and not know the difference between a tourist and a local, but it appeared to me like this was a place where these people lived all the time. You can tell usually, right? You get an idea.
What would move the locals out is what happens is tourist pricing starts to take impact. Okay.
And also there's a housing crisis at the moment. So these people don't actually have anywhere to go.
You know, so it becomes too expensive to be in a tourist area. So naturally people don't want to move out, but they have to.
No, okay. So the economic factor is the most important one. It's not just the presence of tourists.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. So they're going to end all of that by 2028.
If you look at Mallorca, for instance, they started a while back to curb this because there the average vacation rental costs more than a typical Mallorcan salary.
Mm-hmm.
So you then take away exactly what makes the island attractive and what it is, which is the people and the culture. And these people then don't have anywhere to live because there's already a housing crisis. So they basically want to control it with hotels.
Make Barcelona great again. That's what they're trying to say.
I've seen, you know what? We're not going to get onto Trump, but I've seen some South African. Actually, you were interviewing somebody the other day who had one of those caps.
No, I've got one for you.
Make South Africa great
James,
again.
Go and get one for George.
Which I thought was quite funny because
I've made we're making them.
Trump came up with this thing and
now everybody's doing it. Ours are Msaga, make South Africa great again. And then someone asked me on the internet the other day, like, when was South Africa ever great? It was like, well, how about when we were at 6% growth under Thabo Mbeki? That was better.
How about now when 30% of our employees are happy?
Yeah, there's something to be great. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to go back to the year 3000 BC, you know?
Would you rather live now?
Of course
you'd rather. Or in 1912 when you would die of the flu epidemic or some
stray bullet? The Rinderpest. What are you talking about? You know, this is not even a question. Like, I keep saying to people, this is the best time to be alive. Anyone who moans about being alive now just has no idea. I heard the most disgusting thing the other day. Louis XIV, the King of France, who built Versailles.
Mm.
Apparently, he only took a bath very reluctantly every 3 to 4 months.
Oof.
Okay? Didn't shower, obviously, either.
He must have been covered
in
scabs.
There it is.
There we go. Now you've got one too, George. Yeah. See? Make South Africa great again. We make those, George.
I like that.
You can buy them on our website. We'll put the link in the comments below. Louis XIV, wooden bath. When he did, it was very reluctant. He did change his underwear 3 times a day. And he got dressed in very fine clothes every day that were perfectly clean. And he wore big wigs that they were cleaned as well.
Yeah.
But he himself was filthy and smelly. And he would put on copious amounts of perfume in order to disguise that. But you know, you can't, You know, like when someone takes a big shit in a bathroom and then they spray that Glade all over the place.
Yeah, it just, doesn't. And now the
then it's just pleasant smelling shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's like peach but it's still, smelling
you,
shit.
But you still smell the. Like I would hate Ooh. That. So this is the king of France who built this incredible palace and lived
a thing
in,
of beauty.
Lived in absolute finery, right? I mean, he was the he used to have like 12 course meals and just had the most extravagant, luxurious lifestyle you can imagine. He was the richest man probably in the world at that time, and yet he stank. Now, I would like some of the things that Louis XIV had. I'm absolutely sure that would be amazing, right? Greatest craftsman building you the most amazing palace. You just have everything you want, but you stink. I think I'd rather. I think I'd rather be around now. I'd rather be me than Louis XIV.
For me, it's the layers of skin. But if he was being changed into new clothing three times a day,
yeah,
maybe that would have helped with the exfoliation.
Didn't help with the smell. No. Apparently, the smell was awful. Someone said that it really was a putrid and revolting stink.
That's interesting because, you know, were we designed to bath and shower? Because, you know, some people say we actually shower and bath too much.
I've heard this.
Because
I've
of the oils and stuff that get you know off your skin.
So you just put on moisturizer, but wash. It's unacceptable. You know, really, like you don't have to be a clean freak. You don't have to be one of these people who's terrified of dirt. Who walks around with the mask on and, you know, gloves so you don't touch anything. You don't need that. But you do need to be moderately clean. I think you could probably go every second day and you won't be smelly. Yeah. But I kind of like doing a shower twice a day.
It feels so good.
Especially if you've been exercising or you've been out in the sun in the middle of summer, you know?
I agree.
So let's not fight about
it. I felt so bad going for a haircut the other day because I'd gone straight from gym.
Yeah.
And I walked into the hairdresser, like all coy.
Because you hadn't had a shower.
I hadn't had a shower. I went straight because I was running out of time. So right. I went straight to the hairdresser and I said to her, I'm sorry. And like, I've just come straight from the gym. I'm like, but did otherwise I'm never going to make a appointment.
Turf you out? Did they pay? You admitted it. They didn't pick it up.
I was like, I'm putting this out there because if it's...
You just worry.
If I'm doing a Louis XIV thing, at least I've said it.
The thing we don't think about is that women, for instance, and especially older women, go to the hairdresser just to have their hair washed. So they're pitching up with dirty hair.
Mm-hmm.
So we forget what the professionals are used to.
True.
Yeah. Carl says I shower twice a day without fail, but my skin is as dry as my gran's cookie, and she died 18 years ago.
So we have cake Fridays in the office sometimes.
Oh?
One of the skinniest person in the office is the one who's obsessed with cake.
Yeah, of course.
He started this. And on Friday, we had a particularly good chocolate cake, and the comment was, "Ooh, so rich and moist." And I said, "Yes, it's exactly what I want to be when I'm 80.
That's very good. Very good. There's a Blind History episode about the history of plagues and pandemics that traumatized me. We're much better today, says Mapelo. Pretty much this is not even controversial. Any other time that you could have lived would have been worse. It would have. Diseases. We were talking about the advances of medical science when we started the show this morning. I mean, you would you'd be mending something and you'd hit the hammer and nail in the wrong place and maybe the nail would puncture your skin and you'd get
infected.
Tetanus and die.
You
know? You'd get
but
an infection.
Slowly,
and,
you know, yeah. Your arm would become gangrenous.
You'd cut yourself doing something that all of us have done and they didn't have antibiotics and you would be dead a week later.
Imagine.
Like, how did he die? He cut his finger. Very sad.
Imagine the wars of those days.
Oh, my God. No, you're talking a whole different...
Think of childbirth.
You're going to war. You're going to be injured or hurt or maimed, and there's no antibiotics.
No.
I mean, now you've got military helicopters and military...
They would chop off your arm because someone had shot your hand, and they'd say, well, we could either do it, let's just chop it here. Yeah. Like with an axe, they would just chop.
Right there and then.
And now we're like, oh, you know, my boss traumatized me the other day because he called me out of my KPIs. Come on, what are you moaning about? My great uncle, says Janet, visited from the UK, and my mom used to steal his clothes at night so she could have them washed and dried the next day. He was old school and only had a weekly bath.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I must tell you, like those old Europeans, they didn't clean very much. Mm-mm. It wasn't a thing. Also because...
Hasn't that extended to Great Britain today?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Like the Brits still. Yeah. They look at their oral hygiene, their teeth, you know? I would have been killed. That's quite right, Carl. I would have been killed by two separate Avos by now if I were living that long ago. Because, I mean, I've twice done that to myself. Twice I have cut myself while trying to chop an Avo to pieces. Yes. Ridiculous.
You know what? There's a a man in the same ward as my dad at the moment. And he is a tourist from Holland. And he had a heart attack while he was touring. He's solo touring South Africa. And
dat is waar fantastisch.
Yeah, and literally like that. And when the paramedics arrived, they injected him with adrenaline.
Yeah.
But gave him too much.
Oh.
And we don't realize how devastating that can be on the body. He was certainly revived.
Okay.
But it causes your extremities to stop functioning with blood flow. He's now had a double amputation.
Oh my God.
Of his legs.
From too much adrenaline.
Too much adrenaline. And he's been in Mill Park for 2 weeks now, and not one family member has phoned or come to visit. What a lonely existence. I mean, imagine.
Well, no wonder he's touring on his own. Maybe he's a very unpleasant person. Maybe he's a very unpleasant person.
I did think that. I did think that. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm talking about nobody visiting you in hospital. I just happened to see this Instagram post the other day, which was very true.
Mm-hmm.
When you die, okay. Within 24 hours of the funeral, everyone else has gone on with their lives.
Yeah.
Okay. Within a month, your family has even gone on with their lives.
Yeah.
Within a couple of months, the closest people to you have gone on with their lives and you fade into non-existence.
Yes.
Which is very true.
And I love that one that they also, there's a meme that's been going around about like the things that you really think are important. You know, your phone, your house, your car, all of that stuff will be owned by someone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're 20, 30 years from now, you don't even realize it. And you're like putting all this effort in.
And they won't even know who you were.
They'll often think about that stuff.
In your bedroom.
Wow, we're getting the serious existential questions
wow.
going this morning.
It's a crisis of meaning.
Yeah.
Leanne, don't worry, says Carl. The Dutch don't get gangrene, they get gang orange. Oranje, yeah. Oranje boven. Very, very cool that there are so many people in the comments this morning. New names as well. So if you haven't subscribed and liked already, then get in there and do that for us. We also put the link up just a little while ago if you want to get one of those Make South Africa Great Again hats. I just think it's a great way to upset. Yeah, it's just a great way to upset people without a sense of humor in South Africa. So if you wear it, it's bound to piss some people off, which is awesome. Wear it wherever you can, wherever you know they're going to be people who are very, very sensitive and woke, so you can get them all upset. That's one of my favorite things to do in my spare time. Don't you have models for your fashion line? I would like to see how the clothes fit the Real Network. Well, Mapelo, you can be our model. We'll hire you for a photo shoot and we'll try on all the different stuff and you can model it for us. Although maybe that'll put people off, who knows. But there are some suggestions in there as well. I wear my Mlungu shirt and I get eyes, says Bitcoin Boot. I used to have one of those shirts. I think I wore it once on Idols. Okay, a couple of other things I want to get to. This is quite interesting too. Apparently there's an Egyptian coffin that was unearthed. I saw this on X over the weekend.
Oh yeah?
Where?
They dug up a coffin somewhere in northern Egypt.
Okay.
And it was out in one of those sort of desert tombs that was opened up, and there were a whole bunch of coffins in there. But on the cover, on the lid of the coffin, it looks like Marge Simpson.
Yes.
She's wearing a green dress, just like Marge Simpson.
So, yeah, you've got a picture.
And has the blue hair, just like Marge Simpson.
Yeah.
You've Have we got a picture of that?
You've got a picture of Marge Simpson with her green dress. Which,
there it is.
Which is sleeveless.
Yeah.
And her tall blue hair.
Look at the hair. It's the tall blue hair, the green dress, arms up going, "Oh, Bart." That's what they found Marge Simpson. Look.
Holy shit.
Right?
Has she got glasses on? No.
I don't think so.
I think it's some kind of writing. So there are all those little figures around her as well. And apparently that's like a calendar of sorts.
What bothers
or the traditional 12 hours of the day.
Hmm. One foot's got four toes and the other one's got five.
Yeah, all right. Well, the artist wasn't that great. But then The Simpsons isn't exactly
But also that was
high
common
art,
in those days. You'd need
cut one off.
If you cut your toe, it had to be chopped off, you know?
No, come on. The person who did the feet just was like, I need to get out of here. They were in that 11% of people who love their job but needs to get home.
So you're saying that the images around her are the calendar?
No, the traditional 12 hours of the day. Every scene of the hour has a shape. The drawing consisted of a single large figure with 12 substantially small figures. The most striking feature that has caught the internet off guard is that it represents Marge from The Simpsons.
Marge Simpson.
Which is very funny because usually it's the Simpsons show which predicts the future.
I know. Wow.
But here, this tomb predicted the future of The Simpsons.
Doesn't this prove again there's some kind of weird spiritual connection between The Simpsons and...
There's that
time.
Thing.
It's something. Something's going on. That they don't tell me that isn't Marge Simpson in there. They must do a DNA test. She probably did have yellow. She's yellow. She's got yellow skin. She's got blue hair.
Well, you never know. It might
and
have
she's
been...
got a green dress. That's not by mistake. That's too close for comfort. I'm sorry. I believe that's Marge Simpson.
The real Marge Simpson.
The real.
I know, Bart.
Shame. Apparently, the woman who does the Marge Simpson voice died the other day. So now we know that there's a link. They only found this once the woman who did the voice was dead. It's another reason that we need to be paying attention.
Serendipity.
Bart? Didn't you do a pretty good Marge Simpson sister? Remember,
yeah,
she's got
the
two
smoking
sisters. Yeah, what were their names? Somebody in the comments will know. Marge Simpson's two sisters. They're like the ugly sisters from Cinderella. That's it. That's it. They used to laugh like that.
And to smoke a lot.
What were their names? Do you know, George?
Like Thelma
no, I don't.
Something.
I'm Googling it.
Thelma and Selma. That's
Thelma
them.
Selma.
Thelma and Selma.
Patty
Thank
and
you.
Selma.
Patty and Selma.
Patty and Selma.
Oh. Patty and
Patricia
Selma.
Patricia Maleficent and Selma Bouvier.
Selma Bouvier. It was a fourth
Both
husband,
voices
so
voiced
named.
By Julie Kavner.
Okay.
She did both voices.
Okay.
She must have a throat made of steel because that hurts.
Yeah, and you still are a smoker. Yeah. Only smokers can do those voices because they used to smoke as well, right?
Oh,
Selma Bouvier.
They smoked while they were in the bar.
Selma Bouvier and Patricia Maleficent.
Patricia Maleficent. I love that. Matthew Dixon says, when it comes to the Marge coffin, only fans? Nah, only pharaoh toes. Right, there we go. Gareth, you follow Alex Jones, says Bitcoin Boot. What do you think about him getting cancelled? I don't follow Alex Jones. I've seen interviews of his. Famously, I've heard his appearances on the Rogan show. But Alex Jones, turns out, is right more than a lot of the people who called him a conspiracy theorist. That's all I do know. A lot of the stuff that he said is hugely egregious, like when he said that all the people at that school shooting, that it was all a psyop, and then it didn't really happen. And then the parents of that school apparently sued him because it's like, you know, we actually lost kids. You can't be saying that. So I think that's where all the cancellations come from recently. But I don't have a problem with Alex Jones. I think you need people who are on the far end of just skepticism, right? People who just don't trust anything. They're poisoning the water. The frogs are gay. Everything's a problem. with Alex Jones, everything's a conspiracy to get him. And I think if you live that way, something will get you. Because you're just waiting for something to get you. So something's going to get you.
Well, I mean, I think
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
The human body can't tell temperature. You can only tell the differential in temperature.
Yeah.
So if you put your hand in freezing cold water,
and then
you put it in lukewarm water, it actually feels incredibly hot.
Yeah.
So you can only feel differentials. Isn't that the same in life? The only way to feel the middle is to know what the left and right are.
So that's why you must expose yourself to the extremes so that you can find a happy medium. Look, I don't know Alex Jones's position on everything, but I do know that there are a lot of things that he said that are completely crazy. And there are some things that he said that are right. As I said, he's got it right more than people would like him to get it right. But, you know, he was saying, oh, they're putting fluoride in our water and we're all going to get brain cancer. And a lot of this stuff is just mad. It's mad. But I don't think that anyone should be canceled. People should be able to say outrageous and offensive and terrible things. Because otherwise we become so numb.
But isn't X getting it right in that if you are that outrageous, you just don't get seen?
I do think that there are probably a lot of people who want to see crazy. Mm. Like that's what they
want. Yeah, but if you want to see it, you can find it.
You can find it. And I think that that's true for anything. But you have to look for it. I don't think we should cancel anybody. Mm. There are way more dangerous things in the world than Alex Jones, trust me. Way more dangerous things.
Yeah.
And there are people who want to watch, like I like watching those pneumatic presses that, that they put anything under there and it's stupid. It's mindless. It doesn't harm anybody. But if someone suddenly decided this is very, very dangerous and we need to stop the pneumatic press thing, I'd be okay with that.
Mm.
But when it comes to opinions, I do think that we need to have the full spectrum. And George is right. Like, we only sense the differential. So if you don't see the extremes, if you don't see the crazy Alex Joneses on one end and the mainstream media don't believe your lying eyes people on the other end, somewhere in the middle is where you've got to be finding your comfort zone, your sensible, okay, these people are not complete nutcases. If you don't have those extremes, you don't know. And then you'll start believing anything because it all feels lukewarm.
Yeah. Right? I mean, life is about a set of common values more than it is about right and wrong.
The most crazy and funny moment of Alex Jones is when he cried saying they hate your kids and they're coming for us. They're coming for us. He is a very emotional guy. I read this, I think, on the show the other day that Warren Buffett says, if you can't control your emotions, you'll never understand money. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's roughly what he said. I feel like generally we've attached so much importance to emotion. Mm. And emotion has been the chief clickbait online for a very long time now, even in non-digital media.
Mm.
It's all emotion. And it started somewhere in the kind of 90s where people were encouraged to cry on screen or to lose their shit. Mm. And it became emotivism rather than sensibility.
Mm.
So I just think that we've got to pull it back a little bit. You talk about extremes, less of the emotion, not none, because we're emotional creatures. We like being emotional. We like to have a little bit of emotion in our lives. Otherwise, it's very boring. But we need to bring back a little bit of sense and sensibility and a little less of the feelings.
I call it emotional regulation.
It's regulation again, yeah.
You can't stop feeling. So you can feel anger, nothing wrong with that. You can feel irritation, nothing wrong with that. You can feel happy, nothing wrong with that. But how do you regulate that emotion and bring it out in a positive way that isn't extreme?
Oh, I mean, you just have to go through an Instagram or TikTok feed to find an influencer or somebody who has a lot of followers crying. And how that has almost driven other influencers to say, I'm not going to be like that one and just cry.
Mm.
So maybe it is already turning, you know.
No, there's a lot of that I see is people just having enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough of this.
We're all emotionally just, it's too much, right? I mean, you don't need to empathize with everyone in the world when they're going through shit. Like, it's not possible. You don't have the depths and the wells of emotion to be able to join in on every feeling. You know, someone's having a bad day in Tajikistan right now. You don't need to be pulled into that just because they're on the internet sharing it with you. That person you're never going to meet. You don't have anything to do with them. They don't have anything to do with you. And you don't have the emotional wherewithal to be able to do thousands and thousands of those kinds of emotional interactions every day. It'll drive you up the wall. You just can't. This is a good thing to end on because we're already at the end of the show, believe it or not. It's gone so quickly, right? We're doing a giveaway, 300 subscribers away from 50,000. You watch this space, make sure you're subscribed with those post notifications on, and it could be you. That's right. We're giving away 50,000 rand. There you go. So Warris and...
That would go down nicely.
Warris PH and Simpiwe are going to go and take it in bags. I think we must do it in 10 rand notes, so it's enough to fill three bags.
You always said there shouldn't be these cash in transit vehicles. It should be a Gran
in an Uno.
In an Uno. Yeah.
Or PH Warris.
So let a Gran and an Uno deliver the 50,000.
No, these three, because they're going to split it between the three of them. So,
okay.
Yeah, so it won't be conspicuous. But someone's going to win 50,000 rand, and it's probably going to be this week, so make sure you get in there. 300 subscribers away from the 50,000. It's all happening. So, George, have a lucky day. What are you up to today?
The just regular running a business. Yeah.
Nothing big.
we're fast heading to the second half of the year, which means and the automotive industry at the moment is under pressure. It's under some serious pressure. People are holding on to their cars a lot longer than they used to. We produce a metric in the business from our data called days to sell. And the average days to sell a car through Auto Trader is 73 right now. So pre-COVID, that That's was down in the early 60s. So the average car in Auto Trader moves in about 73 days.
Sure.
And it fluctuates, but it's fluctuating up, which tells us a lot about the economic pressures.
Yeah. That's very interesting. You always say, and you're right, like cars are a great barometer on the economy in general. Ass, have a happy week. I hope it goes better with your dad.
Thank you.
And I hope I don't have the corpses of several doves at home when I get back there later with my killer dog. Whatever you're up to this week, I hope you have an awesome week. Keep warm, and we will be back on Wednesday morning, bright and early at 6 a.m. with Jack Motlante and a bunch of very cool stuff. And if you have any ideas, suggestions, questions, anything you want to throw in there, get in the comments section, like, subscribe, and you can email us. All the details are in the comments and in the description. You know how to do it. Cheers. We'll see you on Wednesday.